Okay, good afternoon. My presentation is called Integrating Culture, Context, and Public Health Practice, the Pacific's Response to the NCD State of Emergency. What I will be describing is a catalog project that we have been working on for the past year and a half, and sharing some of our results. My co-authors are Kay Strotter, Regional Women's Health Coordinator for the Office on Women's Health, Christina Perez, Regional Minority Health Consultant for the Office on Minority Health, and John Walmsley, Senior Health Advisor for the Office of Pacific Health. We work for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services in Region 9, which includes California, Nevada, Arizona, Hawaii, and six U.S. Affiliated Pacific Islands, American Samoa, Commonwealth of Northern Mariana Islands, Guam, Federated States of Micronesia, Palau, and Republic of Marshall Islands. And I'd like to recognize John and Christina, who are here today. Thank you for coming. Yeah, and they'll be available to help answer any questions if needed. Okay. I'd like to disclose that during the past 12 months, I have no personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation. Okay, I will be discussing the U.S.-affiliated Pacific Islands, abbreviated as USAPI. These are six island nations with long-standing financial and political relationships with the United States. They are located in the Pacific Ocean between Australia and Hawaii. So they're right here, and American Samoa is down here. Also, I'll be discussing the NCD State of Health Emergency in the USAPI. NCD stands for non-communicable diseases. In the USAPI, the rates of non-communicable diseases and their risk factors are among the highest in the world. NCDs include cancer, cardiovascular disease, stroke, obesity, diabetes, depression, arthritis, and gout. And in addition to the NCD rates being very high, the USAPI lacks medical infrastructure to treat the complications of NCDs. So they lack advanced cardiac care or dialysis treatment. So patients must be flown off island for treatment in most cases. Some contributing factors to this crisis are economic changes, such as increased imports of unhealthy foods, faster pace of life and less time, more and more sedentary jobs, and cultural shifts such as westernization of the younger generation and preferring fast food instead of traditional foods. This project was informed by two important political events. In 2009, President Obama reinstated the White House Initiative on Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders, abbreviated as WIAPI. This aimed to increase participation of these two groups in federal programs. Then in 2010, the Pacific Island Health Officers Association, abbreviated PHOA, passed Resolution 48-01, declaring a regional state of health emergency due to the epidemic of NCDs in the USAPI. In 2011, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services developed an action plan including a critical goal responding to both WIAPI and the PHOA resolution. And then the critical goal was assigned to Region 9 Office on Women's Health and Office of Minority Health in the form of our catalog project. So we were instructed to catalog culturally appropriate / sensitive promising practices that have not yet been evaluated. The focus was on practices that target the NCD risk factors, tobacco use, binge drinking, physical inactivity, and unhealthy eating. And our methodology was to cast a wide net, which meant that we included a wide variety of practices that varied in terms of source, structure, focus, and size. To collect the information, we made telephone calls. The list of contacts came initially from people that John, Christina, and Kay knew and worked with. They were public health officials, community leaders, people who run nonprofits, and medical personnel. Other contacts were found on the internet and in academic literature. Then we were able to access the networks for these contacts, the social networks, So once we got someone on the telephone, we said, oh, is there anybody else you can recommend that we could talk to? Or do you know someone else who can help us with the project? And these referrals were essential to the success of our project. We ended up with 171 promising practices, so 138 from the USAPI and 33 from other places such as Hawaii or mainland United States. And when making the telephone calls, we asked on about seven topics. The description of the promising practice, the target audience, the lessons learned, the funding, the staffing, the organization contact info, and why is this a promising practice? We asked that question in one form or another. And we tried to make the interviews as conversational as possible while sticking to the semi-structured interview guide. All of the respondents were told up front that we are collecting information for a catalog that would be public record, and we gave all the respondents a chance to edit and revise their entries in the catalog before it was submitted for internal review. One of our challenges in the project was determining what a promising practice was. And the way we went about it was we asked the respondents questions such as, does this seem to be working? How can you tell it is doing what you intended? Would you do this campaign again? Or how could this program be improved? And looking back, we found that the promising practices shared the following characteristics. They displayed cultural sensitivity, they met a locally identified need, they made use of partnerships and collaboration, they made creative use of resources, they reached the target audience, were sustainable or replicable, and followed or adapted best practices. By far, the most common campaigns, practices, or projects in the catalog were group exercise events such as Zumba, 5K walk runs, or aerobics combined with health screenings on site. Also school-based programming, gardening instruction combined with nutrition education, legislation or policy advocacy, and outreach and health education screening provided at an annual event such as World Diabetes Day, where a lot of people, you know, gathered coincidentally. Okay, so the main themes in the catalog were combining policy change with behavioral interventions. For example, banning vending machines in schools while teaching healthy eating to the students. Also, forming coalitions and partnerships to maximize resources and impact, which is especially important in the USAPI, where funding is very scarce and staffing is very thin. Adapting best practices to cultural and geographic context. This meant finding ways to provide services to communities that are, for example, very isolated by distance and can only be accessed by boat. Or such as adapting tobacco cessation efforts in the context of the cultural practice of chewing betel nut. Also, devising imaginative solutions to improving health education and awareness outreach. For example, instituting a nationwide school gardening program that teaches students technical skills, nutrition education, and provides physical activity while enriching the surrounding community with healthy food. What I'd like to do now is describe one of the entries in the catalog to give you a sense of what we have collected. I have to say that when I heard this story, I think Sheila and Christina were in the office that night when I had that conversation. I was just thrilled. This is really neat. So it's called the Emotional Health Clinic, and this is a pilot project being implemented by Palau, by the Ministry of Health in partnership with the Ministry of Education. Also supporting this project are counselors and program planners who are volunteering their time, as well as a committed group of over 100 stakeholders. This is aimed at preventing substance abuse and tobacco use in youth by giving them a strong emotional foundation grounded in Palauan culture. It uses the integrated environmental approach to address all dimensions of wellness to strengthen a child's self-respect, self-control, emotional self-management, and life skills. Counselors are trained to intervene with youth ages 6 to 18 with the goal of decreasing detox referrals and other entry into the system. And the hope is that this will become part of the school curriculum in the Palau public school system. So far, it's been implemented in 5 schools, with 2 counselors per school being trained. So the need for the project was twofold. First, the Ministry of Health saw that getting youth to stop using drugs and alcohol once they had started was having limited success, which is not surprising. Second of all, they saw that Palauan cultural values could be used to help youth resist alcohol and drugs. The person I spoke to in the Ministry of Health is called Ms. Everlyn Temingill. She told me that as a result of colonization, Palauans had lost touch with who they were as Palauans. The program goes back to basics, she told me, and identifies a cultural value and boils it down to one specific dimension, the emotional dimension. For Palauans, this includes health and well-being. Everlyn said that Palauans have not stayed tuned in to how they feel at any one time, and they have lost the ability to identify the range of emotions throughout the day. So the centerpiece of the project is the concept of RENG. Forgive me if I'm mispronouncing it, if anyone. Okay. The Palauan word RENG means heart. It has many connotations, and the entire lifespan from birth to death revolves around RENG. RENG is, as I said, the centerpiece of this project. And in addition to training counselors, the project will have a social marketer develop posters and awareness materials that profile the cultural message of the project. So this is one example from our catalog of a promising practice that addresses the risk factor of binge drinking and tobacco use in a culturally sensitive manner. So I was happy in September to have presented this catalog project to the Region 9 Regional Health Women's Advisory Council in Hawaii. There were representatives from 4 of the 6 USAPI there who gave me feedback and suggestions. And the catalog is currently under review by HHS internally. Contacts who contributed to the catalog are very eager to have a copy. It's unique in that it's the only collection of its kind at this time on this topic. Some of the contributors didn't know what was going on at the other end of their own island nation, let alone what was going on in other jurisdictions. So there's interest and potential for collaboration and sharing of resources. Funding permitted, we want to share the catalog with the public online and continue to update it. So there are some implications I wanted to describe to you in summary. First of all, because the catalog responds to YAPI, impacts on policy and funding opportunities targeting USAPI are anticipated. Second, the catalog has the potential to build USAPI capacity through increased connections and relationships. And third, a call to action is that academics and public health practitioners can be an important USAPI resource for technical and other assistance. So thank you all for listening. And if you are interested in learning more about the catalog or want to get involved, please contact me. Thanks.